Welcome back. Madison Square Garden. We're here just after Xavier's 68-65 win over Marquette in the quarterfinals of the Big East tournament. Dan and Rick here, as always. Dan, I think where we start with this is coming into this game, there was a lot of questions, especially from the fan base. I had maintained that I felt Xavier had the resume to definitely get in, even without this win. But I think now that they secured the win, it's a no-doubt thing. They're definitely in this point. Would you agree?
I would agree with that. I think my position going into today's game was that even with a loss, X was more likely than not to make the NCAA tournament. But I wouldn't say that I was hugely confident about that. I wasn't as confident as you were. For me, it was more like a 55-45 or a 60-40 thing, which is still better than halfway. But,
right. But
yeah, this win, I think, solidifies Xavier's position. You know, it's it gets the sort of monkey off their back of the two-game losing streak. Matt Stainbrook was able to play and was able to be productive while he was out there today. So that clears up an issue that we knew was going to be part of this. And I think by getting past Marquette today, Xavier has solidified their spot in the NCAA tournament.
Well, real quick, you mentioned Matt Stainbrook. We found out minutes before the game was starting that he would dress. He did practice this week. And we didn't really know. I was thinking it might be more of a ploy to kind of screw with Buzz. I didn't think he would see as many minutes as he did.
15 minutes.
Yeah, he ended up playing 15 minutes, finished 2 of 3 from the field, 4 of 5 from the free throw line with 8 points. And an assist. He didn't have any rebounds. And I don't think he was looking to mix it up quite as
right.
much as he might in other cases. But the thing that he brings to the table is that they can play through him offensively. And more so tomorrow against Creighton, I think that matters because of the way Creighton has to double the post when he's in the game. So I think it'll be interesting to see if they do that. But I thought Stainbrook looked good, and I thought you're right. He answered the question of whether or not he'll be ready to go for the NCAA tournament.
Well, I would agree with you in that it didn't seem like Stainbrook was really out there trying to mix it up, especially given the physicality of some of Marquette's bigs. But he did provide, but defensively he's still the big body in the middle.
Yeah.
And that forced Marquette to adjust what they were doing offensively. And I thought another guy that played really well. I thought both Fillmore and Jalen Reynolds also did a nice job for the Musketeers. And let's throw Eric Stanger into the mix.
He got
some run late in the first half and late in the game in defensive situations. They brought him in before timeouts a couple times and he did really well. But I thought Jalen Reynolds was outstanding in this game. He plays 15 minutes, same as Matt. Grabbed 3 rebounds, offensive rebounds, all of them. Had 2 ridiculous dunks. Both of them were good signs because there were both situations where Jalen caught the ball in traffic. And instead of trying to do too much too quickly, he steadied himself. Second leap. The guy is so athletic. He's such a great athlete, such a great leaper from a standstill position. He doesn't need to try and overextend himself and do things that he's not capable of doing. So that was huge for Jalen. I also thought, you know, he had a really nice looking baseline jumper late in the game that just barely rattled out. But I thought it was a good game for Jalen. He also set a tone in this game.
Yeah.
With the hard foul early in the game.
I thought that was big. Gardner was killing them inside. Burton was killing them inside. He brought a physicality, a little bit of enforcer. Like, look, if you're going to come in here, you're at least going to pay for it.
Right. And so, Rick, I thought another important thing about this, maybe you can expand on it, on what you saw, was the fact that X was able to overcome a very slow start, especially defensively.
It's exactly what I was just getting ready to say. And why that's so interesting to me and why this is probably my biggest takeaway from the game is that we haven't seen them. We've seen them do it at the Cintas Center with the crowd behind them. We've seen them overcome a slow start and play really well in the second half and make a big comeback, a la the Georgetown game.
Yeah,
we have not seen this team go away from the Cintas Center, start sluggish. Those first 4 or 5 minutes were nightmarish for Xavier. Everything went wrong. Then Samaje picks up his second foul in the first half.
Right.
A lot of things went wrong in this first half, and not only were they able to overcome it, weather the storm, stay in the game at halftime. But they continued to – things. It's not like they all of a sudden made a bunch of threes,
mm-hmm.
you know, like we've seen them do it in past games. They're 5 of 15, so they still struggled from there. Things never really came easy to them, I would say, in this game. They never got on a big run or a big roll where things just clicked for a while. But they overcame. They didn't turn the ball over. They didn't fold. They didn't continue mental mistakes. They didn't compound the issues they were having. And they were able to kind of dig themselves out of it and just play a solid game against a team that they're better than.
And Buzz Williams made the comment, talking about turnovers, he made the comment in his post-game press conference that the last time these teams played in Milwaukee, Xavier turned the ball over 19 times, and a lot of them were really bad turnovers. In the first half of this game, X really struggled to develop a rhythm offensively, but they forced 9 turnovers, and they scored, 13 points, I think, in the first half off the turnovers?
I think it was 14, yeah.
So what X was able to do is they were able to, once they got settled in defensively, and they had a slow start defensively, Marquette had their first five field goal attempts, but once they got settled in defensively, they were able to convert those turnovers into points. And, you know, sometimes your best offense is a good defense.
Let's go back to the defense real quick. You mentioned it a few times. It was interesting because I know a lot of people have wanted a zone this year. They've played it a little bit, haven't had a lot of success. They came out in a zone, and they started terrible, like you said. And the big reason for that was Marquette did a good job of getting the ball to Deontay Burton in the middle, and then he was able to do something with it. I mean, you don't necessarily game plan for that if you're playing against Marquette, especially at this point with him only being a freshman, not really being developed offensively yet. But, I mean, he's a player. He's a talent, and you knew it was possible, I'm sure. And Mac mentioned that they extended the zone out a little bit more to account for Jake Thomas and Mayo. But that left the big guys on an island at first, and they were having to deal with an athletic and quicker Deontay Burton. But then when they went back to the zone in the second half, and we thought maybe they were just doing that to kind of hide Samaje with his foul trouble after he picked up his third, they did a really nice job.
Yeah, they did much better.
Reynolds fronted the post very well. They didn't allow any circle up threes from Thomas, which was a huge issue in the first two games. I thought the zone actually looked pretty good and was probably a good thing for this team to see when you talk about Matt having a bad knee, them being thin in the post at times. I mean, there's reasons they could definitely use a zone.
And you mentioned Jake Thomas. Another statistic that jumped out to me, Thomas got free early in the game, hit a three. He got one more look the rest of the game. So that tells me that the Musketeers were doing a really nice job on him. He plays, I believe, 36 minutes.
Yep,
and he only got two shots up. That's such a huge departure from the problems that Xavier had defending the perimeter the first two games against Marquette. Rick, I thought that Samaje Christie and Dee Davis were both pretty good in this game. Samaje, as you mentioned, got into foul trouble. His second and third foul were ridiculous charging calls. But he did get into early foul trouble. And then Coach Mack, you know, typically Coach Mack is pretty ironclad about two fouls and you sit until halftime.
Yeah.
It's very rare that you see him give a player as many minutes with two fouls in the first half as he gave Samaje today. And I think that shows his trust in Samaje to play under control. And the funny thing about it was that Samaje really didn't change up what he was doing offensively. He continued to attack the glass. He had a couple nice finishes in that 9-2 run that closed the first half that allowed the Musketeers to go from being 5 points down at the last TV timeout to 2 points up at the half.
And when you look at that decision to leave Samaje in the game, looking back, that was a huge decision because they did go on that 9-2 run with him out there. If he's not in the game, I mean, they hold serve, but they're still down 6 or 7 going into the half instead of being up. So I do think that ended up being a big decision. And I also thought with Samaje, he wasn't as aggressive as we've seen him in other times, even against Marquette already this year. He didn't look for his shot or seek it and try to get into takeover mode at any point. He was a little more smooth with this effort, but I thought he had that knack for whenever they needed something, he came through. Whether it was two big assists late in the game to kind of put the game away, whether it was him getting those two floaters out of the timeout to kind of get them back early in the game. There were lots of times, the first 4 minutes I had tweeted, you mentioned it, he had a 4 trillion at that point. He had played 4 minutes, didn't have a stat recorded.
Right.
And you just can't have that, especially when your team's down 10-3.
Right.
He came right out of that timeout, scored 5 straight points, nailed a three, and then Stainbrook got an assist for a three to Dee Davis, and Xavier was right back in the game.
Dee Davis was, I thought, absolutely outstanding in this game. We've talked a lot this year about how Dee Davis's performance in large part is dispositive of how the team plays as a whole. I thought he defensively was
great.
Off the charts. 5 steals in this game.
Led to points too. That was the big thing.
Right. And he just really, I mean, he was calm, especially down the stretch when, you know, the Muskies, Marquette had to come chase the game a little bit. And he did a really nice job of running the offense, keeping everybody together. And, you know, it was that low-key, assured leadership that we see when Dee Davis plays well and that the Musketeers are going to need if they're going to win any more games this year.
Yep, 3 assists, no turnovers for him, 7 points, but we've talked about it. I mean, that's not what you need out of him. You need him to not turn the ball over and play the defense that he played tonight. So very solid performance. One other thing I think we should mention about this game specifically before mentioning Creighton real quick here is just the free throw shooting. I know you mentioned this to me after the game. 13 of 17 in the second half, and they really didn't miss until the very end. I mean, all the ones that they needed to kind of put the game away and stay ahead by 2 possessions there down the stretch, they made. And on the flip side, Garrick Wilson in a 3-point game gets fouled going to the rim. He goes out of the game because he's injured. Xavier picks Jameel Wilson to shoot him. He misses a pair. Xavier goes down and makes it a two-possession game again, and it was pretty much over at that point.
I thought that, and actually, again, this was something that Buzz Williams brought up in his press conference, which is that Xavier went cold from the field for an extended period of time in the second half, and they seemed kind of stagnant offensively. They were having real long possessions that weren't really resulting in good looks.
Yeah.
But they kept getting to the line during that time, and they kept taking advantage of their opportunities. And this was a game that was, you know, you may look at it and say, well, Xavier never trailed in the second half. Well, that's true. But this was a game that was very tense and very fraught. X's biggest lead, I think, was 6 points. I think they got up six twice, and both times Todd Mayo hits a three to bring it back to a one-possession game. This was never a game where either team was able to sort of take a few possessions off because they had a nice lead. So this is a very tense game. You know, we've now seen six games here at the Big East tournament. Five of them have been really good, and the sixth one was Doug McDermott scoring a million points.
Yeah.
So looking forward to the rest of this weekend.
Well, let's talk about Dougie.
Before
that game started today, you tweeted out that you thought he might go for a, I believe it was a smooth 35, you said?
Smooth 35, yeah.
He hit 35 on the dot, so one, well done on that. Two, we were talking with a Creighton beat writer during that game.
Yeah.
I think we all agree, and I think a lot of people, this isn't breaking news, a lot of people know, the key to beating them is letting McDermott get his and shutting the rest of the guys down.
Absolutely.
And tonight,
today,
that didn't happen. Manigat got off.
For DePaul, I mean, today DePaul, who is not a particularly good defensive team, although they did play pretty well against Georgetown the night before, they just let, you know, they let Jahenz Monagat get five wide open looks in the first half. He buries four of them.
Yep.
I mean, when you put yourself in that situation, and it doesn't have to be Monagat, it can be Chapman, it can be Rogge, it can be Gibbs. They have a lot of guys who are weapons. But what Xavier did in the second game against Creighton that allowed them to win that game, McDermott got 27, nobody else in double digits. It's going to take that kind of defensive effort tomorrow if the Musketeers are going to go on to Saturday's final. But you know what? If you can somehow get past Creighton tomorrow, then you're playing the winner of Seton Hall and Providence on Saturday. And, you know, you would kind of tend to think that's a relatively winnable game with Nova going out. Because I think Villanova is the one team in this league that Xavier just
doesn't match up with at all.
Nightmare matchup and just doesn't really have much chance against. But, yeah, they're out. And the Muskies roll on. So, Rick, yeah, like as we said, Muskies go to 21 and 11, I'm sorry. And, you know, probably, I think we can safely say, secure an at-large bid in the NCAA tournament. I know there's been some people who have been hedging on it, but I don't buy it, especially looking at some of the bubble results today, some of the results we're going to see tomorrow as the Big Ten and some of these other tournaments start to kick into gear. I think the Musketeers are pretty safe at this point.
I agree with you. Well, we will be back here tomorrow podcasting again from Madison Square Garden, so be sure to post that and tweet it out. We appreciate you listening to this Madison Square Garden edition of our podcast here on MusketeerReport.com. For Dan, I'm Rick. Thanks for listening, everyone.